Welcome to Local Bitcoiners, a podcast about Bitcoin meetups. In this episode, Reed and Rev recap the BitDev series, talk value for value, and how to increase interactions at your meetup.
Welcome, Local Bitcoiners. Rev Hodel, back with Reed, and it's just the two of us on this recording, on this episode. And we're going to kind of be moving into a little bit, we're going to try and get into a rhythm here where we record three episodes of a theme and then follow that up with a recording without a guest with just the two of us to kind of go over that and just share some of our thoughts on meetups, meetup culture, and what we've got cooking. And so we just wrapped up a three-episode series talking to various BitDevs organizers. We talked with Shinobi out of Chicago, we talked with Justin out of Minneapolis, and we talked with Satsi and Armin out of Boston. So those three BitDevs episodes were the last three episodes before this one. And as usual, of course, it wouldn't be a Local Bitcoiners episode without a meetup adventure story. And so my latest meetup adventure was at my meetup, the South Bend, Indiana meetup, and that's at Lang Lab on the first Thursday of every month, 6:30 p.m. And this one, it was a little weird because we show up, you know, me and another guy kind of arrived at the same time and we're trying to get in and the doors are locked and we're like, what the heck's going on? No one was really around. And there's a sign on the door. We finally see the sign. It says, we're closed for some event that's going on. They're just randomly closed. And so we kind of went to the patio as we normally do, and because the patio's you can access the patio from the parking lot. So we just sat in the patio of the place and hung out there, kind of trying to decide. All right, do we go to the gas station and just get a 12-pack of beer and just drink the beer on the patio, and if anyone else shows up, we can give them a beer, or do we try and go to we looked on BTC Map to see if there was a restaurant or something we could go to and kind of tell everyone to just, hey, this place is closed, go over here instead. And by the time we you know, got to thinking about it, we were like, man, if we do anything different at this point, it's too late to let anyone know that anything's going to be different. So we just hung out on the patio just without any beers or anything. We just, it's fine because, you know, it's at a Bitcoin meetup, you got plenty to talk about. Sure, having a beer would be nice, but we certainly didn't miss it. And so then some more people came, and what did we really talk about most of the time? I mean, there's just, it's kind of this rotating wheel of all of the crazy AI vulnerabilities that are being brought up, how to better secure your stack, what are the techniques and approaches to that, and a lot of, you know, the big one was like, all right, where how come there is no liquidity for an OKYC Bitcoin? Where do you get the liquidity for this stuff? If you look at BISC or Robosats or, you know, any of these places, if you need to buy like more than $10,000 worth of Bitcoin, like, you know, you sell a rental property or something, you got, you know, tens of thousands of dollars and you want to whip that right into an OKYC Bitcoin, there is not a good place to do that very easily. The amount of slippage you'd get if you did that on BISC, I don't look at this stuff because I'm just doing my peer-to-peer no KYC stuff. I don't even look at these online exchanges. But what the guy was telling me was like, yeah, man, if I wanted to buy on BISC, I would very quickly eat up all of the low premium offers and quickly be into 20% premiums and stuff. And so the slippage on the price there for no KYC is insane. So this suggested to me that the meetups are a good resource for at least finding some of that liquidity. And if you're good at it, you might be able to piece together just through your own connections enough liquidity to make something like that happen. But that can't happen if you aren't poking around and kind of setting the stage with a few deals here and there and, you know, just building your trust and working with people. So anyways, I brought my eggs and I had a Bitcoin miner. I sold the miner, I sold some eggs, I bought some jalapenos, I bought some vanilla extract. So even at the South Bend meetup, we're wheeling and dealing and we're making our trades for Bitcoin. And it was a great meetup, really, even though the place was closed. It shows you could just meet up anywhere. You meet up at a bench a just pre-designated bench somewhere, and that's the location for the meetup. Reed, how about you?
Yeah, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take, I mean, getting a meetup location is, it can be a real pain. But at the end of the day, as long as you guys have a quiet place where you can actually talk and have conversations, that's all you need. And actually, one other thing that you, since you were talking about like high liquidity, for example, for like some peer-to-peer trades, you do need to be careful when you, if you start getting into those higher dollar amounts, because you're really raising the stakes on, like, you better have a lot of trust in this relationship if you're going to go try to meet somebody in person and try to do a huge cash trade. Those are some of the worst stories that have happened in the like the $5 wrench attack scenarios. Somebody shows up with a ton of cash and they just, even if they don't have the Bitcoin or whatever, they just want the cash. You know, it doesn't take much. So you definitely, if you're looking for higher volumes, peer-to-peer in person, you know, you still have to be as careful as you can be in those scenarios. Let's see. So I don't have a past meetup story. I told my meetup story for last time we went on the hike. So I've got my normally scheduled meetup this coming weekend. And I almost didn't even realize it until I went to send out a reminder note to the group. This is going to be our 4-year anniversary of our meetup. So a full halving cycle for our meetup. So we started September 2022 and now it's September 2026. So this will be our 4-year, which is pretty awesome. We're going to roll with the roundtable format again. Hoping to get some additional people. The last couple we've had, we've seen this before in the summertime. Our attendance seems to go down in the summertime. So we'll see if our attendance comes back up again. And the topic I wanted to bring up, I try to float at least one topic leading into the roundtable. So that way when we get there, we have something to talk about. And all my topics are like very selfish. They're like, I want to talk about the meetup format still, because I just feel like, we're going to talk about it later this episode. But what I want to find out is, like, I need some participation from the group to find out, like, what are things that we could be doing at the meetup that will make it valuable for them. It, like, this roundtable thing is cool. But is this the highest value thing that we could be doing? Like, is there anything else that we could do? And I wanted to talk about how, even just like from the last 3 episodes, hearing about all these bit devs, like their Socratic seminar formats are a little bit different than the type that I was running. And in a lot of ways, they're a lot more simple, but they require a little bit of participation on the attendee side. You know, they send out links to articles and stuff ahead of time. And it's not homework. You don't have to read the articles. But it's like, if you read the article, you're going to be able to participate in the discussion a lot more. And so it's like kind of encouraged that you do a little bit of reading or at least skim the things. And so that was going to be what I was, I'm thinking I might try to propose something like that for our October meetup. But you know, right, it's a group. I want to find out what the rest of the group thinks. So that's kind of my plan for this weekend.
Very, very cool, man. Yeah, it's like, you could do a little hybrid of the Socratic seminar and the roundtable format. And just like, if people are jamming out, I mean, this happens at the Chicago Bit Devs a lot, where we get stuck on one section of that one item on that list for sometimes the majority of the time, you know. And when you do, you know, when the bit devs do send out their list for the thing, I tend to just look at what interests me the most and I look into that. And then I come prepared to just like ask my questions or give my thoughts on that particular thing. And I'll tell you what, if it is getting stalled on one thing that I'm not particularly interested, I'm like, hey, when are we going to get to the other thing that I want to talk about? You know, let's move along, guys. So anyway, so what we want to do, a little recap of the last 3 Bit Devs episodes, huh?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think if we're going to be trying to settle into this new routine here, I think this would be a good, you know, kind of a healthy thing to do for us, to spend a little bit of time and reflect back on the episodes. You know, we always get that chance at the end of the episode to like, oh, what, you know, what's your final thoughts, or you have any closing or recap statements or anything like that. And, you know, maybe this will be a chance for us to do that and spend a little bit more time with it. And especially now that we've had a little bit of time to see how things have settled. We've also have heard back from the community and what they think of these episodes. So a little bit more to think about. But so let's see. So the first one was episode 25, BitDevs are Bitcoin Meetups with Shinobi. And so here, this was coming right off on the heels of all the cold card stuff. And so we ended up talking a lot, I think, about cold storage solutions and a lot of the different trade-offs there. We talked about UTXO management, just a lot of different kind of cold storage practices. What did you think of that episode?
You know, I think one of the things hearing that again now is we kind of went around in circles of whether you you keep this key material, how you back it up. Do you make physical backups that are easily destroyable, or do you make physical backups that are indestructible? Do you distribute them? Do you keep them in one place? You know, like there's just, it basically sounded like all of a sudden that no matter what you choose, it's might be good for you and completely the wrong choice for somebody else. And so there's no real prescription that you can give to anybody for how to accomplish this. It's more about just knowing what some techniques are, you know, kind of assessing broadly, like what are all the various options and things you could do, and then deciding for yourself how you want to proceed.
Yeah, cold storage is personal. It's super personal. It's, you know, not everybody lives in a place that they can bury their seed phrase in their backyard. Like, what if you don't have a backyard, you know? Or what if it's not your backyard? What if you're renting and it's somebody else's backyard? You know, do you really want to be putting your stuff in a place that you might lose access to at some point? And if you want to go put it on some other place that's like hidden in the woods, like, oh man, like you better be ready to be able to go find that thing if you need to. And so it's super personal, and multisig makes that more challenging in a lot of ways, because I think of it like you've just got a lot more secrets, right? You've got to hide these things. You know, they have to be in secure locations. And but on the other hand, you know, they provide a lot more security in other ways. And so it's just very personal. Like, you just need to figure out what's best for you. So after that, we went to, that would be episode 26. This was the Fedimint Socratic Seminar with Justin from Minneapolis. This was pretty cool. I did a lot of learning in that episode. You know, we started going deep on, I was kind of like, hey, let me take this, you know, this is my opportunity to ask a whole bunch of like nerdy questions about Fedimint. And so we learned about, you know, the role of the guardians, the role of the gateways, the lightning gateways, how that stuff works together. I was very fascinated in that episode with how about the lightning side. I never really understood. It was almost just like the, like they were just selling eCash tokens for lightning on the side, right? They just get the tokens and they sell them for lightning. They just provide their own swap service, basically. That was really fascinating. I don't know. What'd you think about episode 26?
Well, I mean, what really stood out to me was that there's more to, I was most interested in like the ability for these Fedimints to do things beyond just, you know, providing a community with a private and essentially free way to transact amongst themselves. And you could start to build these setups, especially once Frost gets involved for signing documents, signing notes on Nostr, and sort of, you know, maybe doing contracts and stuff like that. But that's, you know, and when it comes to this permaculture thing, you know, there's the slow and small solutions, and then these phases of succession. And so it's like, oh wow, you can do all this cool stuff with Fedimint, but if you started to try and build a government with your Fedimint at your local, you know, regional meetup group, you know, with a bunch of groups of the meetups, if you don't really have a need for it and you try and force it, all of a sudden you're just going to have, there's going to be too much friction there. You're not going to end up really utilizing that tool. But yeah, the Fedimint stuff seems like, it's, it's what, yeah, it's just one of those use case. Like it's, this is what I'm getting at is there's always, I'm always looking for more ways to add utility to the Bitcoin that I have. I have Bitcoin on chain, right? And so like Bitcoin on chain can, sure, I can send UTXOs around, but like if I can lock those UTXOs up in a Lightning channel, and now I have this extra utility by being able to spend with Lightning. If I can lock those UTXOs in a Fedi mint, now I have this extra utility with eCash, and I don't have to expose my entire stack. This doesn't have to be all of what I do, but it's a way for me to take the Bitcoin that I have and utilize it in ways which is advantageous to me. And so Fedi mint is just another way to gain more utility for your Bitcoin if that kind of technique or tool is useful.
Yeah, you know, there was one other thing that I remembered as you were talking about that episode that really struck me that I had never really thought of before about Fedi mint is we talked in that episode too about how, you know, it's a big commitment. Like if you're going to be a key holder in one of these mints, like, look, you can do it if you're just doing it for testing or for fun times to see how things go. And it's just a handful of people and you know everybody, fine, no problem. But if you start running a bigger service, and like people start depositing Bitcoin and you're handing out eCash, there's a big expectation there that you're going to do your best to stay online until you've returned all that Bitcoin. You know, they've returned the eCash and you've returned the Bitcoin. And that is a big responsibility. And it can be a long-lasting thing. And so I think Justin was kind of encouraging, you know, if you want to do this, try to commit to it and make it a long-term thing. And we talked about, you know, there are some other things that you can do to help try to mitigate that. You know, but in general, the practice is try to keep it running for as long as possible.
Yeah. Final thing to say on that is like once the velocity is like high enough amongst these meetups, if you're doing circular economy stuff at your meetup and everyone's making 15 Lightning transactions every meetup or whatever, now it's like, okay, we've got enough volume here, enough velocity of the sats moving back and forth where maybe it does make sense to save on the fees, increase our privacy, keep it, you know, keep all these transactions just within this meetup here. And then you can withdraw your Bitcoin from the mint at the end, right? You don't have to stay exposed the entire time. So what was the third episode was Boston, Satsy and Armin.
Yep. So Satsy and Armin came on. That was a cool experience for me because it was kind of the first time we had Bitcoin meet, like sort of my local people on the pod, you know, meetups that I have been to some of these other meetups before. I've been to, let's see, the Charlotte meetup I've been to before. And, of course we did the grassroots episode. So it wouldn't be like the first time that I've had someone on where I've been to their meetup before, but this was a little different because it's one that I've gone to more than once. And I know these people I have a couple different touch points with these people. So that was cool for me. And this one too was, I came into it hoping to do some learning. Like we were like I was still trying to learn more about how PayJoin works and like, what are the trade-offs and how, I guess like practically, like how do you actually use this thing? And we had the perfect people on to do that. And so Armin and Satsy gave us just a great breakdown of what it is, how it works, what's its role, what's its function, and, you know, an honest kind of assessment about, you know, where it is at technology-wise and are those trade-offs, you know, worth it or, like, are there things that it could be doing better? So I thought that was another cool episode, you know, allowing us to get pretty technical here with some of the BitDevs meetup organizers.
Yeah, and I think the biggest takeaway from that PayJoin discussion on that episode was that PayJoin might not be the privacy enhancing tool that it's made out to be because of the issues with wallet fingerprinting as the primary one. And I wish we would have had some time to dig into, well, if it's not the best privacy enhancing technique or whatever, if it's not a good tool for privacy, surely it's good for other things. And we didn't really get into that, but I imagine if you look into PayJoin more deeply, you'll find out that there are some advantages with just being efficient on chain. If we're really trying to minimize our footprint on chain, PayJoin is a way to collaboratively transact. So you're making, you're combining many transactions into one, essentially.
And you know what else I just remembered too, we hit on that episode was Satsi is part of something called the Bitcoin Dev Project. And we talked about that for a good chunk of that episode too. That was very interesting for me to hear about too. I appreciated the fact that they were talking about devs who came in with all kinds of varying levels of experience, including people who are mostly just vibe coders. And so from my perspective, because I put myself sort of in that category, again, I made the point on the episode that I don't really like to mess around too much with the money side of the equation. I will play around with Nostr stuff, writing scripts and doing other things, but I don't, it makes me nervous to give access to an AI or to a script or whatever that has access to keys that can actually send out sats. So I haven't really screwed around with that too much yet, but it was interesting to hear that their perspective on that as well.
So yeah, this has been the first time that we really did a grouping of three episodes that weren't in a particular local region, but more around a meetup format in general, which was a little new for us. And so I think moving forward, we're going to be kind of moving back into sort of trying to find some guests that are within a few hours of each other and focusing on regions again.
Yeah, there's a lot of benefits to doing the regions, like the physical regions, right? Like meetups that are in close proximity to each other, because we even we saw this where we were almost not introducing the meetups to each other, but we're sort of opening up lines of communication and floating ideas about, you know, hey, you know, we've seen these other regions interact in these ways. Maybe that's something you could consider. And I think we've already seen sort of some of the fruits of that, like down in the Carolinas region, right? They were starting to get together right around the time that we reached out to them, which was cool. And so there's definitely advantages to doing that. But yeah, I think there's advantage, you know, there can be other lessons to be learned too by doing like the three BitDevs in a row, right? Like we get to hear about how these other types of meetups like do business and give them opportunities to learn from each other too.
Yeah, and I think we really took the opportunity to take that direction because it was like after Lake Satoshi, we did our Lake Satoshi recap, and it just seemed like the vulnerabilities were being discovered technically in all of this Bitcoin related stuff. So it's like, all right, let's talk to some people who are focused more on the technical side of things, see if we can dig into what's really going on here. And I think that those three episodes really do exemplify the value of the BitDevs, where if you're looking for some of that, those technical answers, you know, the BitDevs is the place where you're going to get, you're probably not going to get any bullshit, you know, where it's kind of hard when you're trying to dig through online, what's real, what the true story is, what, how it all worked and shook out and what the technical, how did this actually happen? When you go to the BitDevs, you're probably going to get a pretty astute evaluation of what's going on. And you get to meet people and you get to be in person and it's a meetup and it's great. So, but tonight on this episode, oh, go ahead, Reed. Did you want to? Yeah.
No, I was going to do just what you're doing, see if we can transition, because we did have a few topics that we wanted to hit tonight. And so we've had a lot of value for value on the brain here. And so I think that maybe that's a good topic for us to start with. You and I, like, we put together a little bit of a list here for tonight, but I don't know. Do you want to get us started with just open up this conversation about some of the value for value stuff we've been thinking about and how it ties into some of the different forms of capital and how you can try to take advantage of that?
Yeah, Spencer over there at Bull After Bull and Lorian, they often talk about this evaluation. Like, so with value for value, it's not necessarily just sats. I'm trying to do the ask so that you send a boost to my podcast and I get sats. And on Noster, for example, too, it's not just I'm going to post a meme and I'm looking for a huge amount of zaps because I posted this very amazing meme. It's about evaluating what your community has and creating, reducing the friction and allowing that community to, for that value to flow, for that, what we talk about as the value chain. When you take one action, it triggers these reactions of value flowing in more than one form of capital. And so how do you go about evaluating your community, evaluating your meetup, so that way you can find where the value is that's not being tapped, where you have excess value, and utilizing that to grow, to do better, to build more capital, to make your meetup a better community asset. Evaluation. How do you evaluate? So
in preparation for this episode, so Rev and I were talking last night and we had a really interesting conversation. It was really starting to open up some different ways of thinking, ways I hadn't really thought about before when it comes to the value for value stuff. And like, I think we can kind of maybe, we do have some ways to transition this about how this relates to Bitcoin meetups, but I think a lot of the value for value stuff that we see out in the wild happens online. A lot of it with the podcasting and then a lot of it on Noster. I'm sure there are other areas where it happens too, but I think those are the big areas right now that are seeing probably the most, velocity is sort of what you're calling it, right? And one of the questions I had for you last night was like, well, how do you define velocity? Like, is this about like how many sats are being sent? And it's like, I think I kept getting stuck in the same mindset that I think a lot of people get stuck in, which is like value for value is about sending money. Like this is like a financial transaction. And I think when we started, as that conversation last night progressed, I think you started illuminating to me that this is not like really even about the financial things. As you started saying that, and I'll give it back to you in one second, but I started realizing too that it's just like, as I've started to receive more value, like now that I'm a podcaster, right? And we're getting all these boosts in and stuff like that. And my lightning node is like going off all the time. And it's like very exciting. Well, I'm finding myself, I'm sending out way more than I ever did before. Right. And so it's like, I'm getting in more, but I'm also pushing out a lot more too. And it's like, this is how like this flywheel kind of starts. And so, yeah, I mean, I think you did a great job explaining that. I'll kind of turn it back to you.
Well, so velocity in my mind, when I say velocity, what I really mean is like the frequency and number of different participants. You want to maximize the number of participants and their frequency of interaction. And once again, if you going back to like the Austrian economics thing, anytime somebody makes a trade or does an action, it's because they're feeling like they're going to get something out of that, right? So, and on the receiving side, if you're going to offer that trade, you're going to get something out of it. So if the trade happens, that means in a free market that both people won. And so there's more capital there than when it started. And so it seems like to me that in Noster, in podcasting, at meetups, these are free markets. They're not limited necessarily by any coercive mechanisms that would hinder the free aspect of it. And so in that instance, like more velocity in my mind would lead to more capital creation. Now, once again, like you talk about, like when you receive financial capital, when you have all of a sudden you have a flow of financial capital coming in, now you've got excess financial capital, so you're more comfortable, or you have sats flow, right? You have this flow of capital, and so that means that it's easy to divert some of that flow out to liquidate that for other forms of capital. And so I guess we talked about this. We kept doing all these, like, how can we even quantify this, right? And so it's Noster, of course, is a great way to start to quantify this. Podcasts are a great way to quantify this, because there is data recorded there that we can analyze. When you try and look at your meetup and you want to see, you know, how many times you bought something from somebody or how many times someone's chipped in, or to evaluate the interactions at the meetup, it's not like that data is recorded. So we can't necessarily use our, it's all an anecdotal experience at that point if we were to assess this through the meetup specifically. But when it comes to Noster, like we just back, I remembered, we kind of were like, oh, don't you remember when what was it? Noster.band was around, and you could see how many zaps someone had received versus how many zaps they'd sent. Well, we were like, well, is there a way we can look at this today? And well, it turns out that Reed has this app that he's been kind of plinking away at in the background called My Noster, which will show you some of these stats. Now, the caveat is, like, we're not totally sure how completely 100% accurate these stats are, but it gave us a picture, you know, of like when the sats are flowing in, do more sats leave? And so you could look at someone like Matt Odell. And I forget Matt Odell. It basically ended up being like pick anybody, Matt Odell, Gigi, Reed, myself, Corn DeLorean, whoever, these people who are talking about value for value, they're zapping all the time. You'd think that, oh, they're getting tons of sats. They must be making a killing on Noster in financial capital through all the sats that they're receiving through the content that they're producing. Well, it turns out that actually typically you end up sending out to the tune of maybe double what you receive in sats. And so that's interesting. Why would anybody be doing that? Someone who's producing this great content, they've got great reputation, huge followings, whatever. But somehow they're sending out more than they're receiving. Well, that suggests that that flow that they're receiving is about transforming it into a more valuable form of capital to them that they might be lacking in, which might be social capital, might be cultural capital, so on and so forth. Did you want to add anything to that, Reed?
Yeah, a couple things. I guess the nerdier thing, and we didn't really have time to talk about this before the show. I did look up, I was trying to look up, because we talked about My Noster, which is cool. That was kind of like my first, I'll call it like big Noster project that I started with the AIs. And I felt like I couldn't get the shape of it right. And so I ended up kind of, and we started getting way more traction on like local Bitcoiners, and we were doing lots of cool like innovation stuff. And so that sort of caught my attention, and I sort of gave up completely, but haven't really been working on that other project as much. So rather than use that kind of off the shelf, which I haven't looked at in quite a while, that was pulling all of its stats off the Primal indexer. Like the Primal indexer gives you stat, like they collect stats also. But I wanted another source. So I looked at Noster Archives, which is a UTXO, the webmaster project. Their numbers were pretty significantly different, which makes me think, a lot of this stuff is, it depends on what relays you hit and how much data you go back and capture and what you include and what you don't include. Like UTXO, for example, I think he's been doing a lot with like spam. And so like maybe some of these things are getting filtered out. I'm not exactly sure, but it does tell a little bit of a different story on Noster Archives. But I think the sentiment is the same. Like either way, like all the accounts I looked up on both places, if you're pulling in a lot of sats, you're pushing out a ton of sats, you know, like regardless of if it's more or way more, you know, than what you received. For the most part, if you've been receiving a lot of sats on Noster, you've been sending out a ton of sats on Noster also. And so I think as we started talking about it and as I started thinking about it, I think it really is that it's the social capital. It's like you got like the community has been so generous to me to like send me all these sats. Like, well, if I'm going to be a good steward of this community, I need to also be, you guys sent me all these sats. Well, I need to find ways to send out all these sats too. And look, we don't like keep track. I don't think anybody really, I mean, maybe some people keep track. Like if you have just like a single wallet for all your Nostr stuff and like, that's it, you can kind of just, you can see the net like in versus out. But I think a lot of people like myself, you know, we don't keep track. This isn't, we're not keeping score here for the most part. It's just like a feeling like, hey, everyone's been, you know, I talked about it a minute ago. Everyone's been boosting my podcasts. Like, this is so amazing. Like, everyone's being like so generous. It makes me want to be generous. And so now I will go out and boost all these podcasts, and all my Zap amounts have gotten much bigger. Just cause I don't know, I see the sats flowing and I want to make sure that I'm like being a good member of the community. And so what does that even mean? A good member of the community? It means I want to build up my social capital within like this Nostr ecosystem or within the podcast space or even like an individual podcast. Well, now I can start interacting with the show and start to participate, in the value for value system. And it's just a really good feeling. And so it's like, as you start producing good content that people reward you for, it really makes you want to send a lot of that value back out, which is very interesting and a little bit backwards, I think, than how most people think about, oh, the value for value, this is going to replace advertising and you're going to be able to make your career at this. Like, so far, it doesn't really seem like it's played out that way.
And so, you know, receiving sats and sending sats out, you got sats flow and you're moving the sats around. That's one way to increase velocity, right? So it's if you recognize that velocity is important, you don't just receive the sats and then remove that economic activity from the system. You keep that economic activity flowing. And sometimes you even add more to it from outside the system. Because once again, if you're interested in building culture, which is the collective intellectual and experiential capital of the group, moving the sats around is a way for you to showcase, to exemplify the people that have good ideas and good experience, right? And to support them and say, hey, I think that your ideas that you're sharing is good. Your experience that you're sharing is good. I'm going to send you some sats because I'm not able to provide that information or experience the same way you are. And that's because I've been getting sats from the way I've been providing my information and experience. And so now everybody is seeing the collective of both of those all of that information and experience. And now everybody's on the same page, and that's where culture starts to form. And so now if you don't have sats, right? And this is, once again, getting back to like evaluating your meetup, because I'm sure, you know, as a meetup organizer, you spend financial capital on your meetup, and you don't necessarily, you probably put more financial capital out when you're running the meetup than you receive. And why do you do this? Once again, it's because of these other forms that you're after. Maybe you're after better information, better access to the experiential capital of the group. Maybe you're after better social capital. You know, you want to have the optionality of having relationships with people in your local area. So that way, when you need help, you've got someone to call to, right? And you don't just have to hire some no-name contractor to come and give you a hand, right? And so on the internet side of things, on podcasting or interactions with Nostr Value for Value, if you don't have the sats to be zapping all the time, well, you can just interact, comment, renote, boost the podcast, right? With the, you know, just 100 sats, just get that podcast out there saying like, hey, this was good information. You should check it out too. Increase the velocity.
Yeah, it makes me think, of course, my mind goes to what I've been working on. And so one of the projects, and I've mentioned it on this podcast before, but a project that I've been working on is this onlyboost.social. And I had it, I guess it started from this podcast from Local Bitcoiners, but we've been saying for a long time, you know, how do you measure the most valuable episode of all time? Well, we like to use sats because sats are the signal. That's what we're going to use. But the reality is there's more signal to be had than just measuring everything by sats alone. And so my first cut at OnlyBoosts, I was ranking everything just in terms of sat totals. But then I started to realize that maybe there was a better way to do this. And so I kind of came out with, you can call it an algorithm if you want. It's like the most simple thing ever. But basically, I was measuring three categories. Sats, the total number of sats was one category. The total number of boosts, like individual comments that were sent in, like individual boosts. And then the total number of individual people, or, you know, NPUBs, right? How many different NPUBs are sending you sats? And so with those three different categories, what I did is I just ranked them all. Each category gets its own rank. So it's not like if you have, you know, 10 times the number of sats as the second place episode, well, that's just, you're just number one. You're not 10 times higher in sats. You're number one in that category. And so when you rank them all by category like that, and then all I did was I just added up the ranks and said lowest number is first place, right? So if you're in first place across all three, then you have a score of three, and that's the lowest score you can have. And it's made for some really interesting insights, because now you can see that the episodes with the top amount of sats are not always at the top. You can see that there's a lot of episodes out there that get a ton of boosts, and that's a real signal. It's real, like when you're trying to assess the value of an episode, sure, you can just measure it in sats, but there could be like a more robust way for you to be thinking about how to measure the value. And so that's something that we implemented over there. And, you know, maybe there's some insights that can be had thinking about just other ways of, like, how do you measure value?
When so when you take this and you apply it to a meetup, right? So with localbitcoiners.com, that was our way. We recognized right away that a lot of people wanted to be interacting with the show, boosting the show, but they didn't like, there was friction, right? They didn't like the options that they had for doing so. And so we focused a lot on localbitcoiners.com to reduce that friction, to make it easy for people to increase the velocity of their interactions. And that I think that shows in, if you look at the stats that we have on OnlyBoost, for example, you can see that that website makes a huge difference in increasing the velocity of the interactions. And then that therefore increases the, it's because when you rank all these things together, like the episode that has the highest number of sats all of all time or whatever, it could just be one guy, one person that has huge bags that just really wants to send, they just love that show and they're sending a lot. And does that mean that particular show has a huge culture built up around it when it's just one person participating? Not necessarily, but it's much easier to tell if you see that there's a huge swath. Not only are there many people interacting, but they're also putting in lots of sats and they're commenting often. And now you can start to see that there is a culture here because there's this constant interaction. The velocity of the interactions is high, and therefore the information is exchanging. The intellectual and experiential capital is flowing, and there's culture there. And so when it comes to your meetup, right, you can be a person that just attends the meetup, and you just attend the meetup, and there's maybe you want to do something, but there's friction for whatever it might be. You might be looking to do cash trades, but you're kind of, you don't know how to break the ice and say, hey, I've got Bitcoin that I want to sell, or hey, I'm looking to buy some Bitcoin if anyone's got some, because there's never, it's challenging to break that. There's that initial ice breaking moment. And so if you can reduce the friction to break that ice, now you can open up that avenue for this velocity to increase in that direction. If you want to start a circular economy, right? It's kind of awkward to be the first person to show up with something. And it's like, I 3D printed keychains, guys. Does anyone want to buy my keychains to jumpstart the circular economy? And you feel strange about that. And so there's friction there. How can you reduce the friction to increase the velocity so that way the culture gets built and now you start to get these exchanges happening?
Yeah. And to tie some of the value for value, and I think this is kind of where you're going with this, which is, I think, the next piece of this puzzle that we want to try to fit together here. You know, we've made the point many times that a lot of the value for value stuff that we're talking about can be applied to meetups. And so I think whenever we talk value for value, we want to also draw some parallels to your local Bitcoin meetup, because at the end of the day, a lot of these, maybe not the exact same strategies. However, community building in general is a huge part of your Bitcoin meetup. And community building is a huge part of value for value too. So one thing, you know, we were talking before about assessing what is the value of a podcast. And is it just the sats? Is there other metrics that we can use to evaluate this? Now, maybe that's like a very numbers heavy game, like that you can play and try to collect data for and come up with like a quantitative measurement. Meetups are going to be a lot softer, but you can still think about, there are ways for you to assess the value of your meetup, you know, or of your community. It doesn't have this, all of this stuff doesn't apply only to meetups or only to podcasts. It's really any community that you're trying to build. You know, what is the value of this community asset that you're building? And, you know, over the course of this podcast, I guess we're up to this is episode 28. You know, we've talked to so many different meetup organizers, and there's so many different ways that you can add value. And so you just need to think about what those are, whether it's, you know, whether you're providing education, or I think you ran through some of these, but it's like, building local relationships, like in these trusted systems, peer-to-peer marketplaces, peer-to-peer trades, sharing skills with each other, right? We've talked before about the Bitcoin Community College type ideas, where people are getting together and actually sharing skills with each other. Like these, you know, these are things that are hard to put a quantitative number on, but these are all things that are building the value of your meetup.
And so it's to get it all started, right? The reason why it's not happening is, one, because there's no attention being brought to the potential of it in the first place. But maybe you are saying like, hey guys, you know, you could do cash trades here. You could do a presentation at the meetup. But for some reason, nobody ever takes you up on it. And so there's friction there. And so to reduce the friction, it's not like a technical problem to solve a lot of times. It's a successional problem to solve, where you have to kind of set the stage, get everybody into a certain place, and then succeed into the next phase of growth. You can't skip to the end necessarily, where it's like, oh, no one's doing peer-to-peer trades at my meetup, so I'm going to make on the website a place where people can do peer-to-peer trades. Because now it's like, well, what the hell do I do? Like, I don't even really know what's going on here. I'm still not going to use this. It's like, sure, there's a technical solution to that to reduce friction, but if you don't ease people into using that solution, then it's still not going to be effective. There's still friction there.
Yeah, a good example of this is my meetup. And let's see, timeline. This was, I think, maybe like the April or May timeframe from earlier this year. You know, we had just come off a run of, after we had talked to like Augie, talking about, and some of the other Michigan meetups where there were like these thriving, we talked to, the Charlotte, they have a thriving, you know, peer-to-peer, you know, community, like marketplace community. And so I was like, all right, you know, we don't really do this too much at Western Mass Bitcoin. Like, let's make this a thing, and started to roll it out. And I was like, the first thing I'm going to do is, like, just like you said, I'm going to implement like a software solution on our website. And that way, oh man, we're going to be able to open up all kinds of stuff. It's going to be great. And the reality is, like, boots on the ground, like the practical situation is, we didn't have a culture that was ready for that tool. Like, there wasn't a demand for, no one was saying, we have so much volume that we need a website to help us stay organized. It was like, we have no volume and we need to, like, get things started. And, like, having people, like, post stuff on a website is great if you already have, like, huge volumes and everybody knows that they want stuff and they're like having trouble keeping track because there's so much activity going on. But we were just not in that place at all. And so I think maybe the lesson for myself, for my meetup, is jumping all the way to like this big grand like scheme to help ourselves like stay organized. That was probably way too much. And in fact, like you were saying, it actually increased the friction and maybe drove down some of the potential volume. And so fortunately, I talked about this a couple of meetups ago, but we do have the group chat now. And so we're going to try to build up, you know, right now the group and the group chat is pretty small because like I said, I was talking about on the other episode, we really just invited, it was kind of like the core group got an automatic sort of invite. And then beyond the core group, it's like, well, you're going to have to come to the meetup because we're going to try to keep this like these. This is for like the active participants. You know, if you haven't been to the meetup in a year and a half, like you're not in the group chat, you know, why don't you come back to a meetup and then you can jump in the group chat. That'd be great. We'd love to have you back. And so like,
yeah,
I said,
like the next time somebody shows up, you're like, by the way, we started this group chat.
That's
now
right.
You can jump in. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to do that every time somebody else shows up who's not in the group chat, try to make sure that they get in there. And hopefully that will be a way for us to maybe bootstrap some more of this commerce that I think most, that's kind of how most meetups start, that commerce situation. And so instead of, like you said, instead of just like skipping that whole part of the process, maybe we should slow it down. And like, just let's just start with the group chat. Hey, if you've got something you want to bring, just throw in the group chat. Hey, I'm bringing this weekend. You know, let me, if anybody wants some, let me know.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as meetup organizers, you can, once again, about evaluating the community, evaluating what capital is available there. If you want to try and create incentives for people to, or create a culture around community driven education, you might need to just tap somebody and say, hey, I know you are an expert in this subject. Could you, you know, just make a simple presentation? You don't even have to prepare anything. Just get up there and talk for 10 minutes about this thing that you know about and get the discussion started. And that way it creates this kind of like low stakes situation for somebody else to say, oh, actually next, like, you, and then you, in the group chat after that meetup, you can say, hey, if anybody else has anything like this, step right up. You know, we're looking for next month if anyone wants to do the same thing. And then surely I'm hopefully somebody steps up because it's like low friction, right? Oh, I just need to go stand up in front of everybody and kind of do a little, you know, 5-minute spiel on whatever it is that I know about and get a discussion started and answer some questions and kind of lead that way. And so as the meetup organizer, you are kind of the leader in that, where, you know, you can start to break the ice on reducing the friction. And once that ice is broken, then you see how everybody starts to interact with that. And maybe it leads to, in the example of circular economy stuff or peer-to-peer cash trades, you just say at the meetup, like, hey, does anyone, like, you start off trying to do a trade yourself. Anyone interested in doing a trade with me? And then in the group chat, maybe other people start to then in the group chat next month, you're like, I'm trying to line up a trade for this month. Anyone interested? And maybe somebody else will pipe in. Oh, I'm interested in doing a trade too. And then before you know it, you've got so many trades going on in the group chat, like Reed's saying, it's that it gets confusing. And that's where you have to find the technical solution to organize and reduce. Now there's friction in the group chat for doing trades, right? So now we need to reduce friction again. And this is the path of succession, right? You start off with nothing, you start with something simple. That simple thing grows into the point where there's now friction again, and you find a way to reduce the friction as the system grows and matures into the next phase of succession, leading into, you know, wherever it's going to just be comfortable and working good, humming along.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we can get there. You know, I'm hoping that we can, you know, take some lessons out of this, you know, a lot of the things we've talked about in this podcast. And I think building up slow is completely fine, especially if that's what your community needs. And so I think that's what we're just going to keep. I'll just kind of keep coming to the meetups and reminding people And if when I personally have stuff that I want to bring to sell, just like letting people know that it's going to be there and trying to facilitate things that way. We also talked about something that's coming to mind for me now because I have a little bit of extra cash on hand that I sure would love to flip into some no KYC sats at the next meetup. And so maybe this will be a good opportunity for me also to try to find the, like we can play a little game at the meetup almost like an auction and see if we can find what is the market price of Bitcoin, no KYC sats at my meetup. You know, start the bidding at a 0% premium and then just go up from there. Be like, okay, no takers at 0% premium. Okay. How about a 5% premium? Still no takers. Okay. How about a 10% premium? Like, what's it going to take? I got $100 here. Let's see what it's going to take for you guys to make this happen. So I don't know. Maybe that'll get people excited. Maybe it'll just open up the, some people's ideas about how we can move forward. I don't know.
Yeah. And I like the way you've presented that in the past of saying like, okay, the price today is 80K or whatever. Does anyone want to buy my $100 at 80K? No. Does anyone want to buy at 90K? No. 100K? No. 150K? Hell yeah. I'll take that.
Right. Exactly. Eventually you're going to get to a point where somebody's going to be willing to do it.
It's like half price. I take your $100 cash and I'll give you half the Bitcoin worth, you know? Yeah, sure.
Right.
And so you find, that's just one of those ice breaking types of techniques where, it's, you could call it a subsidy in some ways, but like, I don't know. And maybe that's the wrong word for it.
I think it's a better, you've phrased this before. It's what do you call it? It's like the local price of Bitcoin is, like different than the average price across all these global exchanges. Like you're going to have to find the value of Bitcoin in your local area. Because it's a very specific, it's not just logging into an exchange and connecting your bank account and doing like this full KYC transaction. Like this is a whole different type of experience. And so the whole different type of experience, well, you know, maybe people value that either more or less depending on what side of the trade that they're on. And so it's hard to put a number on that. And so that's what I'm saying. Like if we can introduce a game to help try to figure out what that number is, I don't know, it'd be kind of a cool learning exercise for the group.
Yeah. And these icebreaker type techniques, like maybe there's one person who really wants education at the meetup and they keep saying, hey, it would be really cool to have presentations. And so you try and create the lowest friction way, the easiest first step to create education. And it happens. And then it just kind of peters out. So maybe that evaluation of that, of the community is like, okay, that's not what ultimately the community wants. It's just that one person and we tried it. And so you start kind of feeling around for where things really start to click and hum with what your meetup has going on. Some meetups have high circular economy stuff. Some have high education stuff. I'll tell you, the South Bend meetup is not necessarily an educationally focused meetup where if you're a Bitcoin curious person, sure, you're going to get some information there, but you're not going to like learn about any particular wallet or service or technique or anything like that at the meetup. You're going to get sort of an aggregate of what people are discussing. But what that meetup is really about is about building relationships and working our deals with each other. And it's a place where we can kind of exchange in that way. And, you go to somewhere else like the Grand Rapids meetup there at the factory. And that's a heavily educationally focused meetup where they get people coming in from meetup.com. They heard Bitcoin two times, and this is the third time they've heard it. And now they get to learn about whatever presentation is going on, and that gets them on a path to diving deeper down the rabbit hole. So yeah, all the meetups, taking the time to assess evaluate, where the strengths of your meetup are, what it's useful for, what the community is getting out of it, is important, and not always trying to quantify it. And once again, tying this back into like, a lot of times in the value for value ecosystem online, right, where we're working with these communities in very similar ways, it becomes a lot about the financial capital. And like, if I'm not pulling financial capital here, if I'm not getting sats flow, then maybe I'm not having a successful thing going on. But it's not, that's not, that's a poor evaluation, right? You're focusing
it's incomplete.
Too much on, yes.
Yeah, it's an incomplete evaluation, right? Yeah, there's a lot of different, you know, and we hear about this all the time, right? And I think that, you know, you talking about the nine forms of capital has been, I think, eye-opening for a lot of Bitcoiners. It's not a Bitcoin-only lesson, obviously, but it's something that I think Bitcoiners are primed to pick up on because we are thinking so much about capital, you know? And we already are primed for thinking about capital that's different than just like a fiat monetary value on a piece of paper. We're already thinking about it differently. Like we use different units for things. We think about things in sats, not dollars. You know, we understand that some forms of capital are complete garbage, right? Like stacking shit coins and stuff like that. Like this is not the same type of capital. And so I think that Bitcoiners are primed for this idea of these nine forms of capital that you can build up, and they're broad enough categories that you can kind of see how Bitcoin plays into this, how money, like we've always talked about, like this is like one of the core principles of like Austrian economics, I think, is, you know, it makes everything flow because it's the thing that you only use to facilitate trades, right? It's not a consumable good. It's not, you can't build your house out of money. Like you store money up so you can go buy the house. And so, yeah, thinking about capital in all those different ways and then applying that to your meetup, you know, hopefully this will be a way that you can start thinking about, hey, this meetup is actually really valuable. Maybe I'm not getting all the sats that I'm not getting sats back in comparison to how many I put in. But I'm still getting a lot of other things out the other side. And so, I guess that's maybe the kind of lesson that we're trying, or maybe not a lesson, like just a thought exercise that we're sort of going through in this episode.
Yeah, it's like, so money, sure, it's a way to assess financial capital. Like if your meetup is earning sats and you know, you're selling tickets for events and you're creating incentives for the people to participate and you're earning some Bitcoin, sure, that's financial capital that you're getting. But money is also the defining border of that culture, right? Where if you're going to the Bitcoin meetup and you're trying to buy stuff with dollars, I think a lot of times people will say, I'd much prefer the Bitcoin, thank you very much. And so it's not necessarily about, the Bitcoin aspect of it isn't about stacking the sats. It's about using that as a definition for the border of the people you're interacting with. Your location is another one, you know, and the method of communication, right? The language and how you do it is another one. So, it's just when you're thinking about things in terms of money, it gets kind of confusing because it's like, why is this money so important, but I'm not getting any of it? It's like, well, the money is important because it's defining the border of the culture that you're participating in, but you can also be earning lots of different forms of capital within that border of utilizing that money.
All right. Well, I think those are really the big topics that we wanted to hit on. Did you have other things on your list that you thought were worthwhile to try to squeeze in here before we transition to the value for value section of the show?
I mean, the biggest thing I want to reiterate is this successional approach, where if you're thinking about getting started with the meetup, and you're like, man, I would really love a place where I could get Bitcoin education and I could have a circular economy and I could do peer-to-peer trades and I could do all this stuff that I hear about these other meetups in the country are doing. Well, small and slow solutions, and look at things as there are like prerequisites that need to be met to unlock these things to start to happen. And so the first thing is just getting people together in the first place and seeing what's there, right? The mixture of those people, that polyculture of those first core group people of your meetup will then dictate and inform you about the next phase that gets unlocked, whether that be education, whether that be the peer-to-peer stuff. You won't know until you get those people together and see what they're trying to do and how they're trying to interact. This is a complex system you're working with here. You can't just use a formula to create some desired output. You have to just evaluate it and then go from that evaluation and take the next step forward. And then from that step, you reevaluate and you just keep reevaluating and moving on through this process of succession.
It makes me think too of something that we used to say. It felt like we used to say it almost every episode. And I think that it was something we learned from Spencer on episode 9, or I learned from Spencer on episode 9, which is, it's as Bitcoin meetup organizers, it's important to embrace consistency, of course. I think we've heard that. Like, that's one of the first things I ever heard about being a Bitcoin meetup organizer is like, just be consistent. Just keep showing up same day, every month, you know, do your thing. But he also introduced this concept of it's important to have variety as well. And so if you introduce variety just for variety's sake, and you're mixing it up when you don't really need to, or you're throwing in stuff that isn't super valuable, like that's not super helpful. So just like you were saying, I think it's really important that you come together and you talk about some of this stuff. Like if you're the guy at the meetup, maybe you're the only guy, but whatever. Like if you're the guy at the meetup that really wants to switch to a Socratic seminar format and start introducing all this education, voice your opinion, you know, bring it up. Maybe other people in the group are like, you know, that's true. That would be really great. Like maybe we should try that. And then when you're looking for, oh, hey guys, we want to mix it up for next month. We've been kind of doing the same thing for the last, you know, 8 or 9 months. Well, maybe this is the opportunity. Let's go try out this other format. We've got a few people here who are interested. Let's give it a try and see what people think. And then now you've found a way to introduce variety by listening to your community and trying to find out what's valuable to them and providing that back. And so that way, just like you opened this whole thing up talking about how when two sides of a trade happen, the whole thing gets more valuable because people value both sides of the thing a little bit differently. And now the trade happens and boom. Now both sides get the thing that they value more than the thing that they parted with. And so it's the same thing with meetups, where when you start introducing new components that people in the meetup value, it's going to increase the overall value of the meetup. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe this episode was a little bit out there, but at the same time, I don't know, Rev and I, like we're finding ourselves more and more mixed up in all these value for value discussions and all the Bitcoin meetup discussions. And we've learned so much from this podcast and from all of our guests and from all the people who have been participating in our community and boosting the show. And I don't know, it really gets our gears turning. We like to have an outlet to talk about a lot of this stuff. So hopefully you guys got some value out of this podcast. And maybe you can take some of that and apply it to your meetup and increase the value of your meetup. What do you think, Rev? You got anything else before we switch over to the real section, the value for value section of our episode, if we haven't talked about it enough already?
Yeah, I guess another thing to reiterate on just a little bit is the velocity aspect of it, right? The areas in which when you're evaluating it, like if you're seeing high velocity in any particular aspect of your meetup, that's feedback, right? That's something that's working. Now, can you add some variety to increase velocity in some other area? By adding variety, that should be a variety in a low friction way, right? To add, if you end up at the meetup with velocity in all these different directions, once again, now you're really building culture. And this is, we're at the frontier here. This is all pioneer stuff. Every meetup is its own subculture of Bitcoin culture that's yours to develop and make best for whatever context that you're in. And so trying to explore and leverage this, I think will yield just an awesome space for the people that are involved, right? The polyculture, all of the core group that you have involved in your meetup, they're going to get so much more out of it. Your Bitcoin meetup will become this community asset that makes it the place that everyone comes to month after month, week after week, whatever frequency you have.
Let's go. All right. We ready to transition to our value for value section?
Let's do some
hit the leaderboards.
Start with some leaderboards. Yeah, let's see who's any shakeups. We'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, well, they're not really. But I have a couple things that I want to throw out there. You know, I've been using this leaderboard section. Sure, we have three leaderboards technically, right? We've got the top episodes, we've got the core group, and then we've got the biggest boosts. Great. Those are our leaderboards, but we always take more time in this. We talk about lots of other stats and stuff on the website. So I've got a couple things lined up in addition, you know, that I think will add a little bit of flavor. So let's hit the top episodes here. So first leaderboard, this is our top episodes of all time. And like we've talked about, you know, if you're looking for what are the meetups that our community has found the most valuable? Well, one way to measure that is in sats. And that's the way this leaderboard is constructed. And so this episode, this list, I think is the same as last week. So we've got first on the list, of course, episode 15 with BTC Russell, Privacy is Sovereignty, Columbia, South Carolina. And all of these sats go to the Samurai developers. And so this episode total is up to 2,382,590 sats. Which I believe is the same as last week. And second place is episode 2. This would be Meetups of the Ultimate Web of Trust, Jersey City, New Jersey. That was with GC and James. That's up to 157,030 sats. Third place is episode 20. That was the Chicago Bitcoin Collective episode with John, Foyce, and Brady. That one's at 151,843 sats. Then we've got episode 14 with SourceNode, and the title of that episode was Permaculture for Bitcoin Culture with SourceNode from Greenville, South Carolina. And finally, rounding out our top five is episode 9 with Sir Spencer Wolf of Kansas City at 101,684 sats, and the title of that one is Growing Slow, Build Strong Communities, KC Bitcoiners. So before we move on, I just wanted to throw out there, and this is not exactly a one-for-one, but just to show you, I talked for a minute about how in OnlyBoosts, we measure it with, it's not just the sats. We look at a bigger picture, like how many boosts and how many people are sending in boosts. So according to OnlyBoosts, which, by the way, does not have all of our data, okay? All the data on localbitcoiners.com is much more complete because that was being built. It's, first of all, it's been being built since the show started, and it's being built on sats that actually come in to my node, right? So this is sats actually received. OnlyBoosts is only a subsection of that. It's only boosts that have actually gone out to Noster and are following this NIP 73 spec. So a lot of our early boosts, like even going back to like April and May, and maybe even the beginning of June, we were sending them out as notes, but they were not following the NIP 73 spec yet. But interestingly, if you look at our top episodes over there, measured again in those three categories, sats, boosts, and boosters, it tells a little bit of a different story. So three of our top five in sats are on the list. So it's number one is episode 20 with Chicago Bitcoin Collective. Because that one had just a ton of people came out. It has 27 boosts. Let's see. I can click on it here. 27 boosts and 18 boosters on episode 20. So that was a huge episode for us. Of course, it did bring a lot of sats. It's number 3 on our sat total list. And then second place is episode 2, which is funny because it's second place also on our list. And then we've got episode 9. With Spencer is third place. And then we've got episode 1. And then we've got episode 26, which is the Fedimint Socratic Seminar with Justin. So it's a little bit of a different flavor when you start to look at it through a lens of not just sats, but like all the interactions.
Well, and I think this is like another example of these phases of succession, right? These leaderboards are revealing for that. Because when we first got started, our community wasn't as big. So the number of boosters and all of that stuff, that would have been sort of almost like noise. And the sats were really the key driving factor when you're just getting started, right? What is the most sats that an episode can bring in? But now that we have this really vibrant community of so many people interacting with the show, the signal gets different when you quantify all of that data through these other metrics, right? And so it's maybe it's time to change up the algo
maybe.
For what the top episodes are on this leaderboard.
Yeah.
Like we've succeeded. Like the first iteration of the top episodes leaderboard has come to fruition. That's come to maturity. And now the next phase of what the top episode leaderboard looks like, now that the show has grown to where it's at after, what episode is this again? 28 or 29? 28. So yeah, after 28 episodes now, we're in a different realm here. It's just another example, right, of these phases of succession that you can reevaluate. You take the time to reevaluate what's going on. You introduce variety, and then you see the capital that you have in a different lens.
Totally agree. Yeah, we'll talk about it. Yeah, maybe next episode we'll come back with a new structure for the top episodes of all time. Maybe we won't just use sets anymore.
Yeah, and if anybody's got ideas about that too, you know, you can chime in. Community participants, you know, let us know what you think would be a good signal for the best episodes to put on the leaderboard.
All right. Next leaderboard, top listeners leaderboard, core group. Let's go. So we expanded this one. We have been playing with our leaderboards here a little bit. So now we're back to listing top five. So we've got a tie for first place between Permanerd and Noser Gang, both perfect 27 out of 27 episodes. Thank you, Permanerd and Noser Gang. Let's go. Both also on the 40 HBW charts, I've been noticing. So you guys are not just prolific supporters of local Bitcoiners, but also prolific supporters of a lot of other podcasts too. So we see you and we appreciate you. And thank you again for listening to Local Bitcoiners and supporting us for all these episodes. Second place, Admin Pacman of 2.1 million sat boost fame, going straight to the Samurai developers there. But not only that, Admin Pacman also went and boosted all of our episodes. So had a huge week and just got in all those different boosts. So he's all the way up to 26 episodes and he's in second place.
And I know we're going to talk about Admin Pacman again when the biggest boosts come up. But I mentioned like when this big boost came in, I kind of mentioned to Reed, I was like, I kind of think I maybe know who this person is. And I did some poking around, and it turns out that I do not know who this person is. So, yep. Admin Pacman, you are a mystery to us as far as where you've come from. But we'll talk about you again here coming up. But I just wanted to point that out, that I thought I knew who Admin Pacman was, and I was mistaken. I do not know who you are, Admin Pacman, and so that makes that boost even more appreciated, because I thought it was someone who surely could fire off a boost like that, and it wasn't the case. So thank you for that big boost.
Yeah, and just for all the participation. You know, I think we made a comment in the early days. A lot of your boosts were just like firing them out there just to get them off with no message. And but I think that's changed. And Admin Pacman is still a listener of the show and has been participating more. So
yeah,
I don't know. We'd love to have you as part of the community and welcome you with open arms. And it certainly helps when you throw down a 2.1 million sat boost, you know, going to a good cause. But man, you know, we really appreciate that. And having you as part of this community is absolutely huge.
Part of the core group.
All right. Third place on top listeners. This is still part of the core group. We've got Witsixer, 22 episodes. Let's go, Witsixer. I think he's still been going back and listening to some of our older episodes. So thank you. You know, we hope, actually, you know, we'd love to hear from you too. I know you've been sending us boosts and have insightful comments on all the old episodes, but interesting to hear, like, how, because I haven't gone back and listened to a lot of our older episodes. maybe that would be kind of a fun thing to do, but I'm wondering how good they actually, we like to say that they're evergreen, but I'd like to hear it from you guys. If you guys are still feeling like they're very relevant, I'd be interested to know. And then yeah, we've got
Sixer comes out as like the, some of the highest quality boosts. As a fellow podcast booster, I consider myself a podcast booster myself, you know?
And there you go.
Yeah, right. That meme. I fucked that up. But you know, the quality of the boost that Witsixer is putting out is great. I think that Witsixer gets the idea that, you know, when you boost a show, this is going out to Noster, and this information is available to that social graph to read. Not only is it Witsixer's social graph, but it's also the local Bitcoiner's social graph that it goes to. And so these people get it; they get access to that intellectual capital or that information that's in that boost. And so being thoughtful about the message that you're putting out there in the boost it's adding value. It's helping to build that cultural capital. And so I do want to shout Witsixer out for that high quality boost. I tried to do the same thing.
Yeah, it's funny, and maybe I can pause here just for a second. So last week, I decided that. It in honor of rolling out this 40 HPW challenge on OnlyBoosts, that I was going to see if I could do it. I wanted to do the thing and see if I could actually hit 40 hours. And oh man, I will say it was way harder than I thought it was going to be. And like I have made claims before, like in the past, that I'm like, oh, you know, I don't listen to 40 hours anymore, but I definitely used to. Oh man, I used to listen to so many. Dude, I don't think I did. Now that I've actually done it, I'm like, oh shit, I probably like way overestimated how much I was listening. Cause I was like going way out of my way to make sure. I was like, oh, I can squeeze in one more podcast tonight. Okay. Oh, let's queue up the next one so I can boost it and get my 40 hours this week. So I've been enjoying a little bit of, even though I have still been listening and my boosting has increased. Right. So now I have gotten into more of a flow of like sending out the boosts, which I think is good. And one of the things, the whole reason why I brought this up to bring it back to Witsixer's comments is I have been, especially when I'm boosting an episode where I know they're either going to like not read my boost at all, or they're going to read it really quick and not make any kind of fuss over it. I use that as an opportunity to make it more like a, hey, I recommend this podcast. If you're looking for a podcast that talks like this, this would be a great one. And so I'm talking to a different group. Like sometimes I'll boost, like if I'm boosting bowl after bowl, you know, I'm talking to Spencer and Lorian. Like that's who I'm talking to. The boost is going to be addressed to them because I know they're going to read it on the episode and they're going to interact with it. But if I'm boosting like Jack Maller's podcast, like, you know, he doesn't read the boosts. And so why would I address it to him? I address it to my community. And so there's value to be had both ways.
Very good.
Sorry, I guess that was kind of a long aside. Sorry about that.
No, it's very important to point that out because if you're considerate of this, you can really maximize the value when you're sending out sats on the boost to support the show that you're listening to, but you can get that value reflected back. And this is what I talk about with the value chain. By being thoughtful about who you're speaking to with that boost and where to maximize it. If you know they're going to read it off, you draft it in a way which it's going to get read off. And if you know they're not going to read it off, you draft it in a way which somebody else in your social graph is going to read it and find value there. So,
right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's finish off the core group here. So in fourth place, we've got Matthew D. Still hanging out real high up here in the leaderboards at 21 episodes. Thank you, Matthew D. And finally, in fifth place is Bullish Clips with 16 episodes. And I'll just shout out real quick Bullish because he actually has sent us boosts to way more than 16 episodes. However, he was like, I think he was testing like a new boost client that he was playing with. And the boosts didn't come with the right tags on it for it to be picked up by a lot of our bots and stuff like that. So Bullish Clips being a little bit underrepresented here. So don't worry, Bullish. You know, we still, of course, value all of your content and your participation. We try to shout you out as much as we can. And hopefully we'll make it to another bullish market here sometime soon. All right. Let's go to our final leaderboard, which has been kind of rebranded here a little bit. You know, we talked about this last time, but it's really more focused on the single biggest boost sent to the show over the last 33 days. Because why would you pick a month, really, when you could pick 33 days? 33 is a magic number. Let's go. So in addition, I do like to just to make sure that we keep awareness of it, I think it deserves a special shout out is the biggest boost of all time, at least the top one. And so I'm going to read that one out in addition. So let's start with the biggest boost we've ever received, which is, of course, 2.1 million sats from admin Pac-Man. His message is, for the devs, code is speech. At admin Pac-Man, paxarcade.org, your bit time, Bitcoin time starts now. And this was, of course, on episode 15, Privacy is Sovereignty with BTC Russell. And one thing I'll just add real quick is, so I actually went back, actually just today, and I went back and on Ungovernables, the Ungovernables podcast earlier this year, they had read out the six letters from Keone Rodriguez that he wrote while he was in prison. And he had sent those out, I suppose, to the community. I think they were published on The Rage, and then they were read off on that podcast in audio form. And so I had already listened to them, but I went back and re-listened to them. And man, it's just, this is something that is, I feel like it's very easily forgotten. And I'm really hoping that we can do what we can. You know, it's great that we had this episode 15. I will say we haven't actually gotten a lot of boosts on episode 15, you know, in the last like month or so. And so I don't know. I guess I've just been thinking more about the Samurai developers and seeing if there's something that we can do for them that would be more. So yeah, if you haven't boosted episode 15 or if you haven't boosted it in a while, it might be nice. Just throw a little bit of a boost. You know, we'll send some sats their way. And it keeps this episode alive and relevant, and it keeps us talking about it on the show.
You know, what that kind of suggests to me, too, is that maybe we need to reduce the friction to boosting episode 15 on the website and kind of give it its own
feature,
special button or something, right? Yeah, to where if you want to, you know, if you're just listening to this podcast for the first time and you want to boost the show for the first time, guess what? You could start with episode 15, boost episode 15 that goes straight to Samurai, and then we'll still, that still gets read off today on whatever, whenever you boost it, we will read it. And you can take advantage of supporting that. The other thing I wanted to bring up about the admin Pac-Man boost is this PAX Arcade. I recently went and actually checked out paxarcade.org. And I was like, whoa, this seems kind of interesting. I couldn't quite put my finger on exactly what was going on there. There's a lot of overlapping themes and stuff that are happening. But the one thing that I noticed is that, you know, if you end up doing this educational component that he has on there, you get your certification on chain as a rune, as like a data on chain thing. And I thought that was kind of interesting. So admin Pac-Man, you know, send us a boost, you know, if you're listening and kind of explain what's going on there. Cause I what's going on at PAX Arcade is a little nebulous. But I find it to be intriguing. I'm very, very, always very interested in these useful ways to use Bitcoin on, data on chain. As we saw with the most recent thing with the Blockstream Liquid.
Yeah.
Vulnerability and how all of the communications happen on chain via the op returns and encrypted PGP messages or GB, yep. PGP. Yeah. It was that I find that shit very fascinating. So anyways, I thought I'd bring that up too.
All right. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to read off the top five boosts that we've gotten over the last 33 days. So the first one we got 10 days ago, and it's 50,000 sats via Fountain from Wartime. Messages, there's a regional Bitcoin meetup on November 6th through 8th at the Drury Inn in Grand Rapids. 101-91429. this is the code for discounted rooms. The code doesn't work on the app, but it works online. The Drury Inn serves breakfast and dinner. They also give you 3 free alcohol drinks with dinner. So Friday, we'll have dinner and drinks. Saturday, breakfast with dinner and drinks. And Sunday, breakfast. We'll figure out lunch on Saturday, depending on how many people show up. The event is family friendly, so bring your family and let's get a ton of Bitcoiners to hang out and network. Be there. And that boost came in on the Fedimint Socratic Seminar with Justin from Minneapolis, Minnesota, episode 26. So thank you, Wartime. And we're going to be talking more about that because I think that's one of our featured meetups as well.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to jump in there, but if it comes up again, I'll say my thing on it later.
It's coming up again. Second biggest boost of all, not of all time anymore. The second biggest boost of the last 33 days is from 15 days ago, and it was 48,000 sats via Fountain from at Uncle Jim. And the message is just, in quotes, you know what I mean? And then signed Shinobi. And so I think that was in reference to Shinobi perhaps saying, you know what I mean, several times during the episode, maybe more than several times. I actually haven't gone back to listen or count or anything, but that was coming in on episode 25 with Shinobi. Next up on the list was also from 10 days ago and also from Wartime. And this is 16,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com. And it's the meetup itself. And so this is the featured meetup that we just talked about. So this would be November 6th through November 8th at the Drury Inn meetup weekend. And so we'll talk about that more when we hit the featured meetups. Next on the list is 6,969 sats, 69. Let's go from Sir Spencer, Wolf of Kansas City. I do not have the ISO or the soundboard, but I did my best.
69, dude.
Maybe we'll get there. Maybe someday we'll be professional podcasters like Spencer and have the soundboard and the ISOs all queued up.
Do the ISOs ourselves, right?
Ourselves? Yeah.
Yeah. We can just shout them out.
And that boost came in 26 days ago. And it said, great to meet you IRL at Lake Satoshi, Rev. Reed, we will surely meet up before too long. If you can't make it to Nakamotown, we'll be in Mass for Thanksgiving. Speaking of, Nakamotown is right around the corner, October 2 through 4. Come camp and sing and swim and fish and eat good food at Augie's Farm. It's going to be awesome. Details here with a link to it on Plectos. And this is also one of our featured meetups. So we'll be talking about that one again, too, in a couple minutes. And finally, to wrap out, wrap up the leaderboards, we've got a boost that came in from Plebeianon 19 days ago, 5,555 sats via Fountain. And the message is, great rip, gents. Appreciate the Chicago exposure. I also love the wallet discussion with Shinobi. I think that NPub is supposed to be Shinobi. And that boost came in on BitDevs are Bitcoin meetups with Shinobi, episode 25. All right, and that rounds out our leaderboards, but yeah, there are some other stats. Here, why don't you go ahead before we get the bar to the other stats.
The bar is like a little lower now. If you want to get on this, you know, if you got a message or an event or something, a product, something you want to promote, and you want to put a fat boost out, now, you know, for 33 days, you can probably have that sit there on the leaderboards. It does. What was it like the lowest? It's like 10K sats or something. Yeah.
5,500. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you gotta overdo it a little bit. Maybe you get boxed out.
Sure.
But anyway,
you could fall off the list.
It's no longer like, you know, several hundred thousand sats or anything like that to get on this leaderboard. We've taken that phase of succession and, we've adjusted with that feedback and made it a little bit more accessible for everybody. So take advantage of it.
We also like to shout out the streamers. And now I have a way of on the website being able to easily see who streamed us in the last 7 days. So in the last week, we have had sats streamed to us from Stacy, Chad F, Pleb to Polymath, Logs, and Behyber. Those are all coming in from Fountain, and except Chad F also streamed us from Castomatic. And then our top zappers, we haven't really had too many zaps in the last 7 days. Our top zapper is Nostra Gang with 42 sats. Thank you, Nostra Gang.
Nostra's dead. No one's zapping. Oh, no. It's like, dude, the capital that's moving around in Nostra is maybe not financial capital, you guys. Who gives, you know, if you don't recognize the value of what Nostra has to offer, and you think that it's just about getting fat zaps, you're missing it, dude, because what Nostra is a free place for us to uninhibitedly develop this cultural capital. And sure, zaps are a part of it, but by no means the most important part. That being said, if you want to join the community and you aren't, you don't want to boost the show or whatever, you can zap any of our notes or anything, any of the local Bitcoiners content. I think 100 sats will get you in there, and your NPUB will now be recognized as part of the community. If you have long form notes, if you have meetups on events on Nostra, if you have marketplace items on Nostra, 100 sats zap on anything will get you in there, and then your stuff will be populated on the local Bitcoiners website for our community to see and utilize.
All right. So that takes us to our featured content. And this is where we spin the wheel to find out who's going to win the 21,000 sats. So we talked a little bit pre-show. Actually, we floated this idea last time, and we talked a little bit pre-show. And I think what we've decided to do is throw in everybody. So anyone who's featured any content on any of our feeds, right? So we have, actually, maybe this is a good time to mention. So we have adjusted our homepage. Again, speaking of succession and trying to learn from accept and apply feedback, I think is
self-regulate, accept and apply feedback. That's right.
And so that's what we're doing. So we were kind of feeling like our homepage, our old homepage, we were kind of maybe trying too hard, and it was a little bit chaotic. And so we have a new homepage now on localbitcoiners.com. Check it out if you haven't already. Structured a little bit differently. And so we wanted to just, let's focus on the things that we talk about the most on the show and that people use on the website the most. And so we've got the latest episode up at the top, and then quick links to all of our episodes, all of our boosts, and all of our stats. Then we list the community, like who are the members of our community. And then we just go right into the community feeds right there on the homepage. And so we have 4 community feeds. And so we've got events, marketplace items, podcast boosts, and articles. And across all 4 of those community feeds, anyone can feature any of that content. And so that's where we'll spend this part of the show talking about our featured content. And at least for the time being, we are going to spin a wheel and find out if you featured some content on our website, you could win 21,000 sats. So let's see. So let's look at our featured events. So first of all, Witzixer, I have to ask you what this meetup is called 1 Second on the Clock, which is scheduled from September 10th through Friday, December 31st, and its location is everywhere all the time. I'm not sure I completely understand it, but you posted it and you took the time to feature it. So there you go. So you're in the mix here. But I'll be honest, you know, I'm mostly thinking you're in the mix here because you also featured the Cleveland Bitcoin Meetup, which is Friday, September 11th, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Saucy Brewworks, Cleveland, Ohio. So you're only going to, if you boost 10 different things, or excuse me, if you feature 10 different events, you only get into this prize pool entry once. We made that decision last time, so we're going to stick to it. But thank you, Witzixer. And I sure would like to hear, maybe you've got an explanation for us in the boost about what this 1 second on the clock meetup is.
Yeah, it's a little a riddle, maybe.
It could be.
If anyone has an answer to Witzixer's riddle, you might boost and see if you can beat him to the chase there and let us know what's going on.
Yeah, let us know. We have not figured it out, or at least I haven't figured it out. We also have Battersea Bitcoiners has featured, let's see, two of their meetups are on here. And so the first one is Thursday, September 10th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. in Little Bianca, and that's in London, UK. And Battersea Bitcoiners again with their October meetup. And so this would be October 15th, 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Again, Little Bianca, London, UK. Thank you, Battersea Bitcoiners. You're also in the prize pool. Then we've got Chicago Bitcoin Collective, Value for Value Chicago 2026. This is Monday, September 14th. So this is this coming Monday. It's starting 2 p.m. Central Time, and it goes through Tuesday, September 15th at 5 p.m. Central Time. So a two-day event, and that's at Fork and Coin at the Chicago Bitcoin Collective in Chicago, Illinois. And so we're both pretty excited about this event. I think we've mentioned Rev and I will both be there for that. And so really looking forward to interacting and meeting everybody in person. You know, it's kind of Rev's local scene, so I think he's going to know a lot of the people there, but I'll be coming out and hopefully get to meet a lot of people that have participated in our show. I'll get to meet them in real life. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, and if you're like looking to FOMO into this thing, they still have some tickets available. I don't think there's many, but there still are tickets available. It's a small event, so there's not room for everybody here. But yeah, it's going to be very high signal. Just go look at the list of the people that are involved. There's this concert with Skardust. Going to be super cool. Just a true exemplification of all of the stuff that's going on with Value for Value. The conduit market, we were just on the Open Markets podcast with Eric FJ and Sync over there. And so Conduit is going to have this this marketplace in tandem with the with this Bitcoin bodega that they have going on there. So there's going to be this really cool marketplace where you can either buy the stuff in advance and go pick it up, or wheel and deal in person right there. A lot of exemplification of just the tools and techniques that we have at our fingertips today, and we're showcasing it all right here in Chicago. Cool event to check out. There's still a few tickets left if you want to FOMO into it.
And I should know this. Yeah, their website is chicagobitcoincollective.com. You can find out if you're looking for a place to buy tickets, that's where you would go, chicagobitcoincollective.com. All right, next on the list, we've got the Grand Rapids Social Meetup. This is Monday, September 14th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And that is at 2356 Porter Street in Wyoming, Michigan. And so this is the Grand Rapids Social Meetup. But we also have, and that was, that was featured by a local Bitcoiner, which is our way of saying anonymous. but then Wartime also featured the Grand Rapids, Michigan Drury Inn Meetup Weekend. And this would be Friday, November 6th at 4 p.m. Eastern through Sunday, November 8th at 11 a.m. Eastern. And that's in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And so I think this was the one you said you wanted to hit on when we came back to it. So what do you got for the Drury Inn Meetup Weekend?
Yeah, that's your White Paper Day meetup. You know, anybody who's within, you know, a few hours driving, come. Book a hotel room, stay a couple nights, hang out with us. I'll be there. Obviously the Grand Rapids crew and a lot of the Michigan crew is going to be there. And, you know, it's just another example of a different meetup format. Buffalo has some experience doing these hotel meetups, not through Bitcoin, but through other, mechanisms, other cultures that he's participated in. He's got some experience around it, and he knows how to throw down a good meetup at a hotel. And so, three drink tickets with dinner, three free drinks with dinner sounds like it's going to be a party. You know what I mean? We're going to get loose. So let's go. Because he was saying, too, like, you can pass your drink tickets off to somebody else. You go there, you don't drink. Sell those tickets to somebody else for some sats and let everybody else have a grand old time for on the cheap. So, going to be a good time.
That's a great
come
idea.
Hang out with us.
All right, and the last one we have on the list here is was posted by Augie, and it's Nakamotown First Annual Retreat. And Spencer did a great job discussing this in his boost that he promoted it on, but it is on Friday, October 2nd through Sunday, October 4th, and that is Central Daylight Time in Ray County, Missouri. And so, yeah, it sounds like Nakamotown also, it sounds like they're kind of channeling their inner Lake Satoshi vibes and bringing that over to Kansas City or Kansas City area. So that's another good one. And so that rounds out. Oh, go ahead.
We've been going on this section forever, but there's just such high signal here. You know, the community is really bringing some high signal content to our show, right? And look, we've been talking about this, the Michigan community, for years about this trade route idea. And so several of the Michigan Bitcoiners are going to be heading down to Nakamotown to hang out with Augie and the KC crew. And guess what's going to happen on the way? We're going to try and hit up some meetups on the way down and on the way back and take stuff from Michigan to Kansas City and then back on up through the Midwest and distribute it along the way. And so this is just like the first exemplification of connecting the meetups together through trade, in addition to this experiential and financial or experiential and intellectual capital exchange, right? We're building culture, but now we're also providing opportunities along the way to gain access, to gain market access to the products that are being produced in Michigan and the products that are being produced in Kansas City. And so it's just another cool opportunity where we can, once we connect all these meetups together and we start flowing between them, now we can start to create true, not joke circular economies, real circular economies where the goods are moving.
Hell yeah. Yeah, just one more thing to add to the list of all the cool shit that we've got going on just from our featured community meetups. So I'm going to hit the other, I mentioned at the beginning here that we're going to include in our spin the wheel game to find out who wins the 21K sats, we're going to include all the featured content. Now, I'll be fair here. Most of this other featured content was featured by me or Rev to sort of, they may have an example of what this stuff looks like when you feature it, but it's featured nonetheless. And so we're going to read through them. So in our marketplace, we have featured items. We have raw milk from Augie. We also have... let's see, Cretan wildflower honey, 10-ounce jar. And this was sourced directly from Crete. And this is posted by Stacy and featured by me. And so that's one of our featured items for sale. So Stacy will be thrown into the mix. We do have the local Bitcoiners, what's left of our merch. We're really just down to our magnets, but those are also featured on there. Then we've got featured podcasts. And so again, if you'd like to feature a podcast that someone in our community has boosted before, you can go ahead and do that. Like maybe you're saying, not only did I boost this episode, but I also would really like Reed and Rev to talk about it for a couple minutes on the podcast. So we have two podcasts here. The first one is the No Solutions podcast, and it was episode 36, A Taste for Freedom with Zaza. And that was featured by Rev. Did you want to talk about that for a second? That episode, was there a reason why you picked that one in particular?
Yeah, so Zaza is working on the Archipelago node software. I think he's really working a lot with the user interface and the graphic design of it all. But really, beyond that, I mean, that is super cool in itself. Like the Archipelago stuff is something that I'm really looking forward to dipping my toes in and playing around with. Haven't quite got there. Probably a wintertime activity with the way my lifestyle goes. But in addition to that, what Gigi and Zaza got talking about on that episode was this this spiritual component to Bitcoin that's sort of hard to describe. It's somehow Bitcoin does something to you, and you know the John Vallis, you know, had focused on this angle a lot when he was doing podcasting a few years ago. And it just reminded me a lot of those kinds of themes. And so I just thought it was a great podcast to listen to. If you're interested into like, what is Bitcoin beyond just this? It's not a tool, okay? Bitcoin is not just a tool. There's something else going on here. Listen to that podcast. Maybe you'll start to get an idea of what else is going on with Bitcoin.
Yeah. And if No Solutions podcast isn't on your normal rotation, highly recommend. Plus, it's a good opportunity to get to hear from Gigi on the regular. The other podcast that's on here was featured by me. And this was kind of the example that I wanted to just throw up there, but it's the Open Markets podcast. And that is episode 14, Local Bitcoiners First. And so this is the episode where Rev and myself got invited to come on the Open Markets podcast. And we talked about a whole bunch of good stuff, both on the open market side, but also drawing a lot of parallels back to our local communities and how we've been using Noster and a lot of the community building tools that we talk about all the time, that we talked about a lot on this episode. We brought up a lot of those same concepts on the Open Markets podcast. And so if you have not, a ton of members of our community, it looks like 8 members of our community have submitted boosts to that episode. So I know a lot of you have already listened to this. However, if you have not, I definitely recommend you go check out episode 14 of the Open Markets podcast. All right. And then finally, to wrap us up here, we've got 2 articles that have been featured, both by Rev. The first one was authored by Augie, and it's just titled Meshtadel. I have not read this article. Do you want to talk about it for a minute? Do you remember what's in here?
So Augie is basically doing kind of what you were talking about, where you could take these notes from the inside, the message, the letters from the inside with Kione from Samurai, and repurposing them into a Noster long form note. And so he took Sol Exporter's original article of the Meshtadel and put it on Noster.
Oh, wow.
For everyone cool. to read. And so this, if you're interested in the Meshtadel concept, this is it. This is the impetus of it all. This is what started awesome. It all. So go check that article out. It explains what the idea behind the Meshtadel is from the person, from Sol Exporter himself. It's just Augie repurposing it into a Noster long form note format.
All right. And then the last one here is another article that you have had the opportunity to talk about before, and it's titled The Year the Shofar Waits, and that was published by Shadrach back on August 4th. And we've talked about that one before, but that was also featured by you. And so Shadrach, because you featured these, like all the stuff that Rev and I feature, like we don't, you know, although we have sent ourselves sats before on this episode, of course that happens. We're not entering ourselves in to win our own 21K sats. That like kind of defeats the purpose here. So what we do is if it's something's featured by us, we just enter the person in whose article or whose, you know, event or whatever it is that we're featuring. So there you go. So Shadrach and Augie are in. All right.
Yeah, so this is just like an opportunity. If you guys are making good content out there and we recognize it, we might feature it and you could end up getting in this wheel to win 21K. It's just a way for us to showcase and break the ice, like we were talking about on this episode, for reducing friction for people to continue to propagate this intellectual and experiential capital with each other. All of these community feeds are ways of sharing that. Whether it's podcast, long form articles, marketplace items, you have it, whatever you have, you know, put it up there on Noster and we can feature it, or you could feature it. You could feature somebody else's article. You could feature somebody else's content, but that's the idea. We want to showcase the best stuff that the local Bitcoiners community has to offer. You going to spin that sucker?
So this is by far our biggest wheel here. So we've got, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. We have 11 names on here, 11 potential winners. So let's see who wins.
Oh, it's so close.
Oh, there we go. We have a winner. So the winner is the Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids.
This was for the social meetup. And if I go to that one, I just want to make sure I have the right one here. Yeah, so this was featured anonymously, so featured by a local Bitcoiner. And so therefore, the sats will go to the Grand Rapids Bitcoin Meetup NPub. That's who's got the win for this episode. So thank you, Anonymous, whoever you are, who featured the Grand Rapids Bitcoin Meetup. You just got that meetup's NPub, 21K sats.
Beautiful. Making all of that featured content available in the wheel really, I think, adds a whole new level of discussion, you know, where we really get to dive into a lot of different stuff. So take advantage of that feature, guys. You know, if you're playing around on our website and you see something that catches your eye, feature it. I mean, you can 100 sats is the minimum, you know, to feature something. You don't have to put a lot of financial capital on the line to just throw your hat in the wheel here and showcase something that you want us to give our thoughts on. And that showcases what the community has going on. But I think that's the last thing we have before we start reading the boosts. Are we ready
to read
the boosts?
Transition all right, to the boosts.
Let's hit it. So we got 3333 via Fountain from Shadrack, Pure Signal, hashtag 40HPW. And that's on Parallel Systems for Silent Bitcoiners with Biddish, Cleveland, Ohio, episode 16. So Shadrack is working his way through the backlog, listening to stuff. And that episode is particularly relevant to what I was talking about with this trade route idea going down to Nakamotown. Cleveland is going to be one of the stops on the way back to Michigan, where some of this natural capital is going to be distributed. And the Cleveland Bitcoiners are going to get to enjoy the fruits of what's being produced down there in Kansas City. Next up, we got 420 sats via localbitcoiners.com for myself. And this is featuring that Meshdil article. So if you're interested in learning more about the Meshdil, go on our website, look at the community feeds for the long form notes. You can find the Meshdil article there by Augie and read that. Next, we got 277 sats via localbitcoiners.com, 420 sats intended, one leg failed from myself, Reb Hodel. And that was me featuring the episode with Zaza and Gigi. Yeah. So once again, check that out. It's super cool. And once again, I'm just trying to like, I log in to the website just the same as everyone else. I got to click the buttons and do all the stuff. And so I find that it's a pretty, man, it's gotten really easy, guys. Like if you have Amber on your phone, you click the button, you're logged in right away. You can connect your wallet with one copy and paste, and then it's there ready to go. And you can go and blast these sats out, do these features, and really utilize what we've got there on the website and share this stuff out there.
I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago too, but also on the website, we have ways that you can, if you just want a boost and you don't want anything to do with Nostr, you can just come to the website, connect a wallet and boost. You don't have to, if you don't want to do the Nostr stuff, it's not required anymore. It was in the beginning, but it's no longer. So if you want to come and just boost an episode and just type your name in instead of having it tied to your NPub, that's still possible on the website. You can do that too.
Yeah, man, it's reducing the friction, right? We're always trying to reduce the friction. If you've got a meetup, reduce the friction at your meetup for that velocity to increase, and you're going to build capital. Next, we got 100 sats via Fountain from Reed. And Reed says, yes, I do listen back to all the local Bitcoiners episodes. Lightning emoji. And that was on Quiet on Quantum, Loud on Privacy with Satsy and Armin, Boston, Massachusetts, episode 27. And so there's Reed trying to get his credit for the hashtag 40HBW, the Nostr gang,
right?
#40HBW challenge, you know.
Too, because we've had people who have pointed this out before, you know, but it's like if I'm going to do this 40HBW thing, I'm going to listen. Every podcast I boost, I'm going to listen to the whole thing. And so that's what, you know, last week I spent all this time. I listen back to all of our episodes before we publish them. And so I think even in this particular case, I think this was an example where I didn't have time to listen back before we published. And so I think I actually listened after we published. But I do listen. I listen back to all of our episodes. So I'm like, well, this totally counts. I'm sending in. I sent in the minimum. I sent in 100 sat boost just to make sure I got my credit for it. But yeah, there you
well,
go.
Well, yeah, it's kind of silly to send sats to yourself.
I know.
I guess
yeah.
You're sending sats to Stacey and Armin, you know. You could
this
juice them a little bit, but
yep.
Anyways, that 40 HBW challenge is it's a great way to, once again, it's creating an incentive. It's a fun way. It's a game to play to increase the velocity, right? Now, if you're listening to a show, all you got to do is 100 sat boost. I think that's kind of like the industry standard minimum on podcasting 2.0 for a boost. I don't know who sets that
sure
standard,
it's,
but yeah.
It's to make sure all the legs go through, right? Because if you have a 1% split to podcast index or something like that, you want to make sure you can't boost less than one sat. So,
yes, sure. So 100 sat minimum, and then you get the credit, and then you get on the leaderboard, and you get to play the game with the rest of us. Next, we got 101 sats via Fountain from Nostragang. Go Red Sox. And that was on Quiet on Quantum, Loud on Privacy with Satsy and Armin, Boston, Massachusetts, episode 27. Red Sox is a Boston team, eh?
Yeah, Boston baseball. Let's go.
All right. I guess Nostragang is a Red Sox fan. Next, we got 100 sats via Boost Me Bitch from Chad F and 33 others. Quiet on Quantum, Loud on Privacy with Satsy and Armin, Massachusetts, episode 27. And so Chad F, I think, is just claiming his proof of 40 HPW there as well with no message. Next, we got 210 sats via localbitcoiners.com from Alice A. And she's got a tent emoji camping October 2nd through October 4th in Winters, California. And there's a link here for a Club Orange event. So it sounds like there's this thing I think that they do over there called BitCamp. And so these folks are kind of going out, making camping adventures and hanging out as Bitcoiners. And so it sounds like in Winters, California, October 2nd through October 4th, you can join in on that. If you find this boost from Alice A, you'll find the link there, the information on Club Orange. So thanks, Alice A, for that boost.
Yeah, it is. I clicked on the link here. It is BitCamp, Northern California Camping, BitCamp. It says they've got Saturday afternoon, there's an optional outing to a tasting room, pay for wine and snacks with Bitcoin, or relax at camp. They've got campfires are allowed, and Friday evening meal provided. So there you go.
Damn. No, it's going to be
definitely
sweet. All right.
Go check out BitCamp. Yeah. Let's go.
If you're in Winters, California area within a decent distance of there, maybe you should check that out. And, you know, to tease this a little bit, I am in communications with the organizers of BitCamp, the organizers of the Sacramento meetup. And I think we're trying to work out a way to see what's going on over there on the West Coast. We've been teasing this for a while. We kind of pivoted doing this BitDev's little foray for a moment. But we really want to head over to the West Coast. We've been focusing so much on the East Coast and the Midwest. We haven't talked to the West Coast Bitcoiners so much. And so keep your eye out. Hopefully we can get some scheduling going where we're talking to what's the West Coast Bitcoiners and see what they've got going on over there. Next, we got 5,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com from WitSixer. The last few episodes really helped me with my understanding of a few of the more technical aspects of Bitcoin. Thanks for helping me see a little clearer on all of that. Quiet on Quantum, Loud on Privacy with Satsy Armin, Boston, Massachusetts, episode 27. Well, there you go. WitSixer coming in and saying, hey, these more technical episodes have been useful and valuable. And so if you haven't listened to them, maybe you should go check it out, see what you can learn from it all. Once again, WitSixer with the high value boosts. Next, we got 111 sats via Fountain, Rose Sticks, Satchel of Richards from Stacy. I love this episode. I love how our worlds connect in this space. I've gotten to know Rev through my local meetup and James as well through our work together at Conduit. Love hearing about the Jersey City meetup, and that was on Meetups Are the Ultimate Web of Trust, Jersey City, New Jersey, episode 2. And so Stacy went back and listened to episode 2 with James, and it turns out that James and Stacy are now working together at Conduit. And I didn't know James was involved in Conduit, so that's a kind of a cool new development. James, if you're listening, let us know how that's going over there with Conduit. It seems like it's pretty cool. They're pushing updates, seems like, daily. Next, we got 100 sats via fountain from Pyrohawk. I was thinking at some point you'd want to reset the top boost. So the top and 33 days seems like a good solution. Might also consider different time frames for the size of the boost. Like over 1 million doesn't expire for over 100,000 is good for like half a year, etc. Just an idea. Always enjoy the interviews and things you come up with. Hashtag 40HBW. So yeah, maybe there can be some like decay on the boost. Like if you boost really big, you'll be up there for a while. And if you boost small, it's more ephemeral. That's interesting, Pyrohawk, where we can have like some kind of sliding scale for the message. If you want to promote something for a long period of time, you can boost big.
Like it.
Great feedback.
And sorry, next. I actually, if it's okay, I want to go back a boost.
You want to go back? Okay.
Sorry, because I was trying to look something up on my phone and we moved on too quick. But yeah, I was also surprised to find out that James was working at Conduit Market now. And so I think he's helping them prepare actually for the V4V Summit that's coming up. So I don't know. It's really cool. I mean, if you think, you know, James, GC and James, they were our first guests. Right? They were the first guests on this podcast. They were episode 2. You know, we did the Solar Rip episode 1, which is kind of like the pilot. And then bang, episode 2, GC and James. And it's still one of our most popular episodes by all metrics. It's like number 2 in both categories. Like no matter how you measure it, it's all the way up at the top of one of our best episodes.
Yeah. One of the greatest episodes of all time. There was magic there. It was probably that giant bag of weed I showed him at the beginning of the show.
But yeah, thanks, Stacy. Sounds like Stacy's going back and listening too. So thank you for that boost, and thank you, Pyrohawk. Also, that is a great idea. We'll let this settle for a little while since we are mixing up the leaderboards. But that's another good model for us to think about next time we decide to mix it up.
Any stuff that you guys got to throw into the hat? We love playing with these ideas to create different rules for different games. You can slice this shit a lot of different ways. And you never know what's going to be the most fun way to do it. So keep the ideas flowing. Really appreciate it, guys. Next, we got 222 sats via Boost Me Buddy from Chad F and 33 others. 2X podcasting listening is unacceptable. Unacceptable. And that's on Quantum Loud, Quiet on Quantum, Loud on Privacy with Satsy and Armin, Boston, Massachusetts, episode 20. Well, Chad F, I'm sorry, but I have to tell you, dude.
I'm a 2Xer, dude.
I sometimes do 2.25x, you know, a boosted. Sometimes there's some really slow talkers and I can even juice it a little bit more. But, you know, I'm no permaner at 5x. You know, at 5x,
that
becomes like a completely different language. Permanerd has, he must be like a savant in music or something
his brain can just process those waves just so much faster than mine. I don't know how he can do it.
For context, Permanerd had a boost on Chad and Reed's podcast about asking for a player that offered 5X.
5X, which is insane. Yeah.
Good luck, Permanerd. I hope you can.
But yeah, Chad F is a 1X maxi. So Chad F, everything's on 1X. So
Chad F really putting in the work. If he's gonna hit 40 HPW, he's really hitting 40 hours
let's
of time.
Go.
40 hours of time.
I barely could make it at 2X. I was like barely making it above the 40 HPW. So Chad really, really crushing it at the 1X speed. Let's go.
The true master, you know, of course. Next we got 5,000 sats via Boost Me Bitch. BoostMeBitch.com user. So maybe that's just anonymous. But that was on BitDevs, our Bitcoin meetups with Shinobi, Chicago, Illinois, episode 25. Thank you, Boost Me Bitch user. You should use Boost Me Bitch to boost podcasts because that is a great way and a low friction way to do it. We've got a comment on here.
Yeah, I don't know where this came from. I was trying to figure out how it got in here.
So it's a comment on a boost. But
is it?
They say, okay, what is the advantage of joining this group? Well, Dream System 99, if you're listening, the advantage is that you get to be in the community and you get to see all of the cool Web of Trust filters that we've got going on through boosting as the border of being the community, being part of the community. So there's real skin in the game here. Everybody that's playing the game that's in our community is has participated with the show, and so they're probably a real person, and they probably got something real to offer you. So it's a way of filtering. It's a great way of filtering. Get that noise out of there. See where the real signal is. These are the local Bitcoiners.
Yeah, there you go. We got, and so this one showed up because it is a comment on the Boost Megathread, which was started 5 months ago. And I haven't really thought about the Megathread. Now that we just view it on the website, I don't really think about necessarily where they're coming from. But yeah, these are all comments to that thread. So that's why it's here.
Breaking the game, finding a way to get into the boost readoff without boosting the boosting the show. Good job, Dream System 99. Worthy of a zap. Next, we got 420 sats via localbitcoiners.com from WitSixer. And this is where WitSixer is posting this 1 second on the clock event. September 10th.
Everywhere, all the time.
Everywhere, all the time through December 31st. Let us know what's going on with that, WitSixer. Curious.
Very curious.
Next, we got 420 sats via localbitcoiners.com from Admin Pacman. Love hearing the great, or love hearing from the devs. Great episode. Quiet on Quantum, loud on privacy with Satsy and Armin, Boston, Massachusetts, episode 27. Well, we're glad that you enjoy it, Admin Pacman. Thanks for being part of the core group and boosting. That's what we like to see, high velocity. Doesn't need to be a lot of sats, just needs to be frequent and a lot of folks doing it, and we're going to build capital that way. We're going to build culture that way. Next, we got 420 sats via localbitcoiners.com from Stacy. I'd like to learn more about only boosts and how it works. Well, Reed, do you have a 30-second elevator pitch for Stacy on only boosts and how it works?
Yeah, let's go. So only boosts is named because only boosts is a Nostr client that only shows boosts. Like, these are all Nostr notes. It exclusively shows kind one Nostr notes, but only kind one Nostr notes that are associated with Bitcoin boosts. And so the way that we identify those is they're boosts that have the NIP73 tags on them. And this is for tags for external content. But of course, we are only interested on only boosts and external content tied to podcasts. And so that's what it is. And when I first made it, I was thinking of it, this is a great way to showcase this giant data set that we have of all of these boosts and all of this boost information. And so what I've been doing is playing around with different feeds and different ways of showing all of this data and aggregating it in different and interesting ways. And really what I would say I'm trying to do with it at the end of the day is I'm trying to give people a reason why. Why would, when I boost an episode, why would I share it on Nostr? What does that actually do for me? What does that accomplish? Why is that beneficial to anyone for me to share my boost on Nostr? And I'm hoping that only boosts is part of the answer to that question. Because if you're in the data set, everyone gets to benefit from your boost because you're communicating out information to the world. You think this episode was a great episode. And we have ways of measuring how great you think it is. Maybe you boosted that episode 10 times, or maybe you boosted it 100,000 sats. Either way, you know, we're going to be able to evaluate and measure and compare how much you value this episode versus someone else. And we can put that all together and make all these cool feeds of, hey, what are the top podcasts of the week? Or now we've got this 40 HBW challenge, like which NPubs are boosting the most podcasts, you know, over time. We can track it by NPub now. So that's really what it only boosts is. And it's still, you know, it's still being built out. And so I'm just kind of playing with the data sets and trying to find cool and new ways of thinking about podcasts and podcast boosts and really kind of using it as a discoverability layer for finding new podcasts and figuring out what your friends on Nostr are boosting.
You know, I didn't realize how much of a prolific booster I was until OnlyBoosts arrived.
There you go.
I was like, man, I guess I better lean into this a little harder. I guess I'm a prolific booster. So it gets you to be able to see, quantify, you know, your interactions. If you're wondering, you know, how much velocity am I individually creating? Now OnlyBoosts has a way, at least through the lens of podcast boosting, that you can see how much velocity you're really contributing to the culture.
It's been fun. Then, we've gotten some good feedback on it so far. So yeah, hopefully you check it out and you like it, Stacey. Thanks for the interest.
And there's new stuff that seems to be added almost daily to OnlyBoost. It changes a lot. So
this is true.
Definitely in its nebulous growth, just appearing
being built
into
out.
Like existence phase.
Yep. So definitely.
Any feedback, I'm sure, is welcome. You know, go play around with it. If there's something that
feedback,
you want.
Yeah,
you know,
it might get named after you. We could have a Stacey feature if you get, you know, we've got a Nostr Gang 40 HPW challenge. If you give me a feature and I incorporate it, I don't know. No promises, but it could be named after you.
There you go. Next, we got another 1,111 sats via fountain, row of sticks, Satchel of Richards from Stacey. I made the meetup story. Woohoo! It was so great catching up with you. Smiley face. A hand waving emoji, purple heart emoji. Satsy, love that you go by that. I had never met another Stacey/Stacey, etc., until I got into Bitcoin. Laughing, crying face emoji, purple heart emoji, stars emoji. And that was on Quiet on Quantum, Loud on Privacy with Satsy and Armin, Boston, Massachusetts, episode 20. So Stacey was in the last episode. I did talk about how I went to the Elmhurst meetup and Stacey and I spent a lot of time sharing notes on a lot of stuff related to podcasting and this open market stuff with Conduit Market that she's working on. And we really hung out for a long time there and it was a good time. So yeah, if you come to the meetup and, you know, hang out with me, you might even end up in the meetup story, in my adventure story.
Awesome.
Next, we got 5,000 sats via fountain, no comment with boost, and that was on Quiet on Quantum, Loud on Privacy, Satsy and Armin, Boston, Massachusetts, episode 27. Well, thank you, anonymous booster, whoever you are.
Thank
5,000 sats is not chump change by any means. Very nice boost. Next, we got 210 sats via fountain from Permanerd. And Permanerd says boost. Quiet on Quantum, Loud on Privacy with Satsy and Armin, Boston, Massachusetts, episode 27. Next, we got 210 sats via fountain from Permanerd. Great roundtable discussion, folks, and that was on Michigan Meetup Roundtable with Buffalo, Grand Rapids, Michigan, episode 23. And I will say that that roundtable episode is, if you hear me talk about what the cool stuff that's happening on in Michigan, the Michigan meetup culture, all the stuff we had Matthew D talking about Ann Arbor, and we touched on it a little bit there. But this roundtable, Matthew D came back, and it is really an exemplification of what is going on in Michigan. If you want to find out, kind of dig into what the magic that Michigan has going on with its meetup culture, that is the episode to listen to. Next, we got 420 sats via localbitcoiners.com from a local Bitcoiner. And that's boosting the Grand Rapids social meetup. And that's Monday, September 14th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Two Guys Brewing over there in Wyoming, Michigan. And I will be in attendance. So if you want to come hang out with me and the other Grand Rapids Bitcoiners out there for the social meetup, have a couple beers, maybe a burger, maybe buy some eggs for me. That would be cool. You know, maybe some maple syrup. Yeah, I'll have that stuff. And who knows what else might show up. Come join us. That's this coming Monday. And actually, wait a second. Can I go to that? I think I'm supposed to be in Chicago. I think that's the same time as the value for value thing. So maybe I won't be at that. Shoot. Well, sorry to pull your chain there, everybody. Too many things going on. Too many meetups.
Definitely too many things. Yeah.
We got one final boost. And that's 1,234 sats via Fountain from Permanerd. The last boost was a placeholder. Another great episode, folks. So many interesting people and topics. Great to have the guests stick around for the second half of the show. Hashtag yada. And that's on Quiet on Quantum, Loud on Privacy with Satsy Armin and Boston, Massachusetts, episode 27. And really, that the banter in the boost section with Satsy and Armin was great. They really did contribute a lot to the conversation on that. That one, the guests just definitely did not leave the episode for the value for value section on that one. It was great. Well, wow. Thank you, everybody. Talk about velocity. You know, every show that we do, we seem to get a heap ton of boost from you guys. And that's what we're saying. You know, when you boost this stuff, you attach your NPUB to it. You get your social capital. You push sats in all these different directions. As we mentioned, there's splits going everywhere. When you boost the show, when you feature content on the website, the sats don't just go to us. They go out to the content creators, the participants, the guests on the show. Everybody's getting a cut. And this is how we're increasing the velocity and the sats are moving around. And maybe it's not so much about the financial capital in the first place. Maybe it's about the cultural capital, the social capital, the intellectual capital, the experiential capital, trying to build this culture, get everyone on the same page, and you know, lead the front, be on the frontier, building a new thing, building the parallel system that we want.
Yeah, and talking about you know, all these different types, these different forms of value that you can give the show. So one of the things that we love to hear, and you heard it from us a couple times tonight, but is feedback, right? If you guys, what do you think about the website? Like I said, we rolled out the new homepage. Let us know what you think. If you're having any points where you feel like, hey, there's too much friction here, or is there anything you could do to make this better or smoother? Let us know. You know, reach out to us. If you like, you know, we mentioned this new sort of cadence that we're getting into. If you think that's a good idea, or if you think, you know, hey, you know, maybe you guys should think about doing more than three guests together, because we have done more than three in the past. You know, let us know. So we just, you know, we want your feedback. We're trying all the time to listen to you guys. I would say our primary goal here is really to try to make this podcast as valuable as possible. And so the best way for us to do that is to hear directly from you. And so we really appreciate all the sats and everything. But as you can tell, we love, you know, all the feedback, all the commentary, and all the cool stuff that you guys are featuring on our website. So yeah, really appreciate it, and really look forward to hearing more from you guys about you know, what we're doing here, and if there's anything that we can do to change, you know, we're obviously open to doing that. So let's go.
And to tease it a little bit, I think we've been teasing it for a while. We've got a new format, a new show format that we're going to do kind of a proof of concept on. And so if you guys got ideas for games that we can play on the website, maybe it'll be a little bit more clear once we release this new format of a show that we're going to do. But new leaderboard formats, new games, new ways to create incentives for people to participate, increase that velocity, reduce the friction, add variety, you know, all the stuff that we talk about. Let us know. We want some ideas because we're get ready to play, guys. We're going to be playing and having a good fun with this next format that we're going to do. Yeah.
Let's go. All right, you ready, Rev?
Let's roll the outro.
Episode complete. If you run a Bitcoin meetup and want to talk about it here, reach out. Check the show notes for contact info, link to meetup organizer resources on GitHub, and more. Send us a boost of any size and advertise your next meetup. We'll read it out on the next episode. And remember, attend your local meetup or start your own. Local Bitcoiners are always just one meetup away.